Let's continue our series celebrating the 70th anniversary of the ABC's Rural Department. And today we hit the 60s. All eyes were turned to the north as the great Ord River Irrigation Scheme got underway. The crippling drought of the 30s and 40s was the final push for an idea that had been around for some time. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. Melanie Sim tells the story.
This is the greatest single thing under consideration in Australia today.
It's the commencement of something very worthwhile. I feel that you are doing something by staying here.
We've got a vast lump of land here, and it must be very quickly populated. If we don't do it, someone else might come up here and do it for us.
Here at Bandicoot Bar, where the crocodiles bask on the banks, and that's true, some miles upstream from the Kimberley Research Station, they're damming the Ord to control the water which will irrigate the plains. This is stage one of the Ord River project, a diversion dam which will open up 15,000 acres of rich black soil.
Despite the optimism, the Ord River scheme was dogged with problems from the start. The first 30 farms grew mainly cotton, but were overrun by caterpillars. Large amounts of pesticide led to resistance, and a drop in world cotton prices meant the suspension of the cotton industry. But work on the main dam continued and was soon opened to much fanfare.
I'm flying over the main dam at the moment of the official opening, and I can see the ceremony going on down below. It is an awe-inspiring sight.
Country Hour's John Barnett describing Lake Argyll, many times the size of Sydney Harbour. The issues with the scheme weren't far from John's mind, as he noted its greatest critic, Dr. Bruce Davidson.
I'm quite sure that he'd be the first to acknowledge that it's a wonderful feat of engineering, an asset to Australia's growing tourist industry, a wildlife reserve, extraordinary. But I equally have no doubt that he'd still be just as sceptical as he has been in the past about the prospects of ever having an economically viable large-scale irrigated farming industry.
And that was the problem. While it was a tourist attraction and a haven for birds, crops kept failing. A few years on, ABC Rural returned to see those who had started farming in the Ord in the 60s.
For Ian Oliver, every morning for the last 15 years has started off the same way. On this isolated farm in northern Australia, clearing the channels is a daily task. Through them flows the water that should have taken all of the risk out of Ian Oliver's life. Ian Oliver is one of only eight farmers still here. When others left, he decided to stay. With no help, he gambled on rice. Now, after 4 years of trying, his time is up.
This rice crop is all important. It's the last chance, I think, that we have to prove conclusively that rice is going to be successful. We can't afford to continue this kind of research that we've been doing for this period without a measure of success.
What happens if it's not a success, then?
I suppose we'd be forced into the position that we'd have to leave, as some of the farmers left when the cotton disaster occurred.
He works so hard all the time, and I say, well, what are you doing here, killing yourself? If he worked a regular job, he'd have a weekend off, he'd work regular hours. I'm with the children because he ends with the farm. And I think, well, there must be a better way of life.
No one likes a disaster. The Ord was a grand idea. It was just built too soon and perhaps in the wrong place. To harness this river cost $150 million, but today only eight farmers use the water. The other 24 have long since gone. And unless something dramatic happens, the real and daunting prospect is that the Ord could be deserted.
It did continue despite gloomy predictions. In 2006, Bill Durack, from the famous Durack grazing family, spoke to the Country Hour on a visit to the Kimberley. He had done research there in the 40s with his brother Kim, one of the first agricultural scientists in the region. Bill reflected on the crops now grown in the valley, chickpeas, melons, pumpkins, bananas and more.
In our day, there were this few small acres of green, which could be observed, and I made the walk one day to the top of Kelly's Knob, looked back to see what our little farm looked like, and it was a long time before I could even pick it up on the edge of the water, a pinpoint of green. Now it's a huge sea of green. of wonderful crops of all sorts and descriptions. My brother was, of course, just determined that the vision which he saw should come to some sort of achievement. And I believe if he died at a fairly young age, and I believe it would have been wonderful if he could have seen today what I have been privileged to see on my returned visit.
Bill Durack from the famous Durack pioneering family from a 2006 interview with ABC Rural. And that ends our look at the 1960s as we continue to celebrate the Country Hour's birthday. And Melanie Sim with that story.